This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, look at this. We got a legend joining us here, huh? A legend joining us here. You're going to see him at UFC 314. Jim, well, I can't say, we're on the radio, Jim, so I can't say your full name, unfortunately, today. But join us here on the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop 2,000 Toyotas online, on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, and toyotaofhollywood.com. Jim Miller, an absolute UFC legend. Thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me on, guys.
You're taking on this kid, Chase Hooper. We had him back when he was 19 fighting on the regional scene here, Jim.
Uh-huh.
But, like, does it make you, like, do you like this scenario of taking on the young whippersnappers? Does it make you feel old, or do you like teaching them a thing or two?
Being old makes me feel old. I've been doing this for a long time.
Yes.
I've essentially averaged 3 fights a year in the UFC for whatever it is now, 16 going on 17 years. So, I've been like living in that crucible that is like fight camp, essentially my entire adult life. So, I don't have to fight 25-year-olds or anybody younger to feel it at this point. Chase is he's a young up and comer. He's a stud. It gets me excited because I have seen him fight for a while now. And, I've been a fan of his for a bit.
Jim, is this one of these situations like you've been around forever and UFC says, you know what? If this guy is legit, he's got to get through Jim. Are you like kind of like the gatekeeper of like UFC and your division simply because, you've been at it so long?
Maybe like the term gatekeeper, honestly, in MMA kind of gets thrown around as like a little bit of not a compliment, right?
Oh, no.
But honestly, it's like, hey, I'm here to fight. I have fought a lot of guys that went on to fight for the title and guys that became champ and guys that were former champ and stuff. So, like, I've fought a who's who and it's really just about like, for me, it's just about the fight. Like, I don't really look at it any other way than that. Like, my job Saturday night is to go out and to win in a way that makes me happy, which is violent and dominant. And, there's not a picture of me in the octagon after winning a decision where I'm happy, and that's just, that's just who I am. So, like, yeah, like the goal has always been to go out and win in a way that I get pumped for. But if these guys want to get through to the top of the division, they have to fight their way up. And I'm here, so bound to happen.
But the thing that's incredible about you, Jim, is like a lot of times we see, when things happen with guys in your sport and it gets to the fall off, like usually it's like you go to the Wikipedia, there's a lot of red there. I'm so impressed by not only the activity that you keep every single year, but you're still winning, man. Like you're submitting guys months ago. Like, how do you stay sharp like that? Because normally we see, like, once it seems like it starts falling off for a UFC fighter, like, it's hard for them to get back in the mindset of just getting a win.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if we have the time to get into all of it, right? You know, like, there's a lot of things that have helped me, you know, extend my career. And honestly, I feel like it's been some of the bad stuff, right? I was diagnosed with Lyme disease in 2016. I believe that I was bit. I had my first symptoms in 2013. So I went about 2.5 years, pushing 3 years, with it undiagnosed, and the symptoms beat the tar out of me, you know? And I felt like it was, hey, I've been a professional fighter for a decade, you know, fighting the best in the world. This is what I'm supposed to feel like. And I kind of just pushed it to the side. And I was like, this is my body just telling me I've been going too hard. And when I was diagnosed, I not that I had a bad lifestyle to begin with, I just really, really started focusing on those things that were going to make me better through the Lyme disease while I was still competing. And honestly, I think taking that type of approach really has been one of those things that added to my career. You know, I started making a lot of those decisions. I mean, food quality is one of those things that now in 2025, everybody talks about. I was doing that 10 years ago, you know, because I had to. I was forced to. You know, it wasn't just a choice. It was like, so I could survive, so I could continue doing what I love to do and support my family. You know, so like I was pushed to make these decisions that, were going to, just get me through those hard times, but they ended up helping, with that longevity.
What is it about Chase? Like, what are the things that you focus on? Because obviously, you know, the guy's been, you know, grappling since he was like a toddler. You're obviously one of the best to do it. So, are there things that even like with all your knowledge, like he's just maybe not even be prone to, just because, you know, you have miles and miles of experience in the octagon with it?
Yeah, you know what, he is a tough dude, and he's got that like kind of newer age style of grappling, right? It's like, it's very flowy. It's very like you don't push back. You know, I come from, you know, my black belt I got under Jamie Cruz, who was known for his pressure game. You know, and he is a Henzo Gracie black belt, and one of Henzo's, you know, one of his first, I believe, in his top 10, you know, or first 10. So I come from that like more traditional, heavy grinding style of jiu-jitsu, and honestly, you know, I've learned a lot of the new stuff, because you have to adapt, you have to change, but you also have to play to your strengths in the fight. So I know what my strengths are, and I feel like it's a good matchup. But yeah, he's tricky. He's very flexible. He throws up his legs from positions where there are a lot of guys that can't do that type of stuff, and myself being one of them. I can't throw my ankles behind my ears, you know, and it looks like he can do that type of stuff. So he's very aggressive. He's throwing punches in every position. You know, like I said before, like I'm a fan of his. I like watching him fight. So you know, it's nutty to think of that, like, hey, you know, like he turned 9 years old when I signed with the UFC, right? Like it's pretty crazy, right? You know, yeah. he's a talented grappler, but I was a black belt fighting the best in the world when he was in like the fifth grade, you know. So like he's training those like those crazy, what the heck, those little rubber bands that, like, you know, they were like big in the 2010 era, right? Like, you know, like and I was a black belt fighting the best in the world. So experience is a tool, it's a weapon. I've made it my mission this entire time. Every time out there, win or lose, I am trying to learn something new. I'm trying to pick up something. There are always mistakes. I've never had a perfect fight, and I don't believe I ever will. So, like, I've been a student of the game this whole time. So, like, you know, that experience and that mindset, I feel like carries me to win on Saturday.
Is there something like old school? Because we talk all the time in sports radio, like we're, you know, Leroy's like, the run game is lost in football. In basketball, there's too many threes. In baseball, no pitcher can go past four innings anymore. Is there something as like in the old school that you will not break on? You're like, I'm not learning this new confounded thing that everybody loves in mixed martial arts.
You know, it's not necessarily that I won't learn stuff, right? Particularly in like the jiu-jitsu side, right? Everybody tries to like make everything their own, and it bugs the heck out of me that every position now has like six names, and some of them use like partial Japanese, and like you're always dealing with some Portuguese in there as well, and it's like, because everybody wants to name something, a position, and I rag on my instructor all the time when he's just ripping out like, oh well, this is side saddle or the honey hole or the, you know, outside ashi and all that, you know, and it's like they're all the same position, you know, just show me the position. I don't care about the name at this point. So the naming thing is really the biggest thing that bugs me, that I just don't care. I'll do the movement. I'll do the move. I'll work on it. I'll get as good as I can at it. If it fits into my game, I will make it part of my game. If it doesn't, I'll know it to defend it. But I don't care about the names.
He's like old school. He's not a fan of sampling either.
Yeah.
Come up with your own thing. Don't use somebody else's music and rebrand it.
Jim Miller, we can't wait to see you this weekend. UFC 314. He's taking on Chase Hooper, a stacked card at the Kaseya Center. Go get your tickets now if you guys want to go see it, right at the Heat's house, and of course available on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Always a thrill, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you for so much for having me, guys.
That is the all-time UFC wins leader, a bona fide legend.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment. All so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.